No, but do we look at.
That's what I thought I was saying.
This council meeting for Tuesday, July the 10th, 6:00 PM is called to order. I would like to welcome everybody here this evening. There is a change to the agenda today. We are proposing to add item 15.1, in-camera item, contract negotiations. Are there any other changes to the agenda tonight? Hearing none, a motion to approve the agenda as amended would be in order. Moved by Counselor Johnson, seconded by Counselor Freilich. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. We have no presentations tonight under 3.0. Under 4.0, tabling of petitions. We have no petitions to table tonight. Are there any petitions to be tabled? Second call for petitions. Third and final call for petitions. We have no petitions tonight. Under 5.0, public question comment session. Is there any member of the gallery who would like to offer some comments? If so, please state your name, your address, and limit your comments to 5 minutes or less.
Do we have Mr. Cox or Mr. Robertson by Skype or something?
No.
Which feels really weird.
Were they here at 9:00 this morning?
Yes.
Were they?
I don't know.
So we will move on to 6.0, approval of minutes. Under 6.1, regular council meeting, June 26, 2018. Are there any errors or omissions of the minutes as circulated? Hearing none, a motion to approve those minutes would be in order. Moved by Deputy Mayor McLeod, seconded by Counselor Fisk. Any discussion? Are you ready for the motion? All those in favor? It is unanimous, thank you. 6.2, public hearing, minutes, June the 25th, 2018. Are there any errors or omissions to those minutes as circulated? A motion to approve those minutes would be in order. Moved by Counselor Muse, seconded by Counselor Fancy. Any questions?
Question.
Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? All those opposed? Okay. It is passed. Under 7.0, dangerous or unsightly premises. We have under 7.1, 28 Hillcrest Avenue, Brooklyn, Queens County, Nova Scotia. I would ask our bylaw officer, Kellyanne Hurley, to approach the desk.
Hello.
Hello.
Good evening.
Thank you. And I would ask, who would like to take the lead on the recommendation on this? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I would recommend that the council of the region of Queens Municipality declare the property located at 28 Hillcrest Avenue in Brooklyn, Queens County, Nova Scotia, as dangerous and unsightly as defined in the Municipal Government Act of Nova Scotia, and that council of the region of Queens Municipality cause an order to be served upon the owners of the property requiring that within 30 days of the date of the service of the order, following work be carried out. Cleanup of all construction and demolition materials and delivery to RQM landfill, and to remove or secure a long telephone line that could pose as a potential hazard going about. And if the owners fail to comply with the order, the administrator may cause the requirements of the order to be carried out, and all expenses incurred by the region of Queens Municipality become the responsibility of the owners.
Seconder for that? Counselor Kelly?
Should be noted that item number two in regard to recommendations has been satisfied.
Yes, would you like to give us an update on this?
Sure. Number 28, Hillcrest Avenue, Brooklyn, Queens County, Nova Scotia. PID number 7008-4496. Property owners Stephen G. Johnson and Joan Stella Johnson. This property is noted as a standard parcel of land. Upon receiving several formal complaints dating back to 2016, a site inspection revealed a possible structurally unsound dwelling that could pose as a threat to public safety, and an unsightly property exterior. Along with the noted complaints, complaints of nuisance wildlife became an issue as well. Property owner, Mr. Johnson, worked on and off in the attempt to clean up the property, however, full compliance was not received. In October of 2017, after receiving further formal complaints and further deterioration progressed, more compliance was received from the property owners. On November 2nd, 2017, a formal order to comply was issued to the property owners via registered mail and in personal and personal service with a list of compliance issues to be completed. The owners were given 45 days to complete. Some compliance was received before the deadline date and a request for extension was granted. On January 1st, 2018, I posted yet another extension to the formal order to comply with another deadline of 60 days. On January 8th, 2018, demolition permits were obtained for the dangerous dwelling and outbuildings located on the property. On January 25th, substantial compliance had been received and several items checked off the compliance list. On February 1st, all dwellings were demolished on the property without incident and the property leveled as requested. Mr. Johnson worked diligently to clean up the piles of construction and demolition debris himself, as he paid to have the demolition only. Due to earlier than usual road closures through TIR, Mr. Johnson was given yet another extension and advised that as long as we could see ongoing compliance, his request would be granted. Mr. Johnson was granted another extension with an extension date of June 26, 2018. All such compliance has been received with the exception of the completion of the cleanup of construction and demolition debris. And at this point, he has satisfied the order with the exception of that one item. In order to close the file, this item must be completed to satisfy our request, thus my request to council today. The property owner, Mr. Stephen Johnson, is present here this evening.
Mr. Johnson, would you like to speak this evening?
Yeah, I guess I would. First off, I was told the house was full of raccoons. There was no raccoons in the house, but they couldn't get in. So they had to demolish it. I can prove there was no raccoons in that house. But I was going to tear it down anyway, so no big deal. I've worked at this by myself since January. By myself only. I hauled probably 50% of it away with a 8-foot utility trailer. Basically all but then is the shingles, and I'll have them hauled away as soon as possible. If I can get maybe 45 days, I might get 6 hours a week to work on it. On Saturday, that's all I get, and that's what I do every week.
Well, certainly we do appreciate your effort, and certainly you've accomplished a fair amount of work in the time that you have started till today. This order, as it appears on the agenda and has been presented and moved and seconded, gives you 30 days to complete that work. And at that point in time, then it's at the discretion of the municipality as to how to proceed. And I know that our bylaw officer, Kellyanne Hurley, will work with you during that period of time. So I will ask council if they have any questions or comments. Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Mr. Johnson and I said to him earlier, we really appreciate his compliance up to this point. And I do recognize that he's got some restraints in timing for the next 30 days. So I'd like him to make an amendment to the motion, if I may.
Yes.
I would like to amend the motion stated with the exception of sending it 45 days of the date of the service of the order, rather than the 30 days.
A seconder to that amendment, Councilor Fisk. Any discussion on that amendment? Are you ready for the question on the amendment?
Question.
All those in favor of the amendment? We now have an amended motion, which reads instead of 30 days, it reads 45 days. Any discussion on the amended motion? Deputy Mayor McLeod.
And I might have, should have done this maybe earlier, and I noticed what, if the compliance is done within the 45 days, what about the grass and that sort of thing? Does that just get left as is, or is that?
It would be considered a vacant lot.
Okay, just a bit, so.
Yes.
Okay. Any other counselor have a question or comment? Are you ready? Yes, Deputy CAO?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The bylaw enforcement officer mentioned that item two of the recommendation has been now been complied with, so it would be in order for that to be removed from the motion.
Can I add that in the amendment?
It would be helpful if you make an amendment to do that.
Can we do the two and one amendment?
I already did the other amendment.
Two. Okay.
Another.
Okay, I'll make it.
It would be a new amendment.
A new amendment, that we remove the item two, which has been complied, which is, has been completed at this point.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Do we have a second for that amendment? Counselor Fisk, any discussion on that amendment? Are you ready for the question on that amendment?
Question.
All those in favor of the amendment? It is unanimous. We now have a amended motion that reads 45 days, and item number two regarding the telephone line has been removed from that. So is there any other question or comment on the amended motion? Counselor Johnson?
That whole piece with the telephone line, that's a utility issue, not a landowner's issue, is it not?
It's been resolved, it's been satisfied, and it was to the responsibility of the property owner to contact the utility company to do that work, which Mr. Stephen, Mr. Johnson did.
The picture I saw, that could become a problem tomorrow if it comes uncoiled and gets loose again.
It was originally attached to the dwelling that was demolished by Mr. Johnson.
Any other comments or questions of counselors? Are you ready for the vote on the amended motion? All those in favor of the amended motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. And thank you, Mr. Johnson. We have nothing this evening under 8.0 economic development. Nothing under 9.0 corporate services. Nothing under 10.0 engineering and works. Nothing under 11.0 finance. Under 12.0 recreation and community facilities, we have under 12.1 lease with ECBIS, Intervention Association. Who would like to take the lead on 12.1? Councilor Johnson?
Okay, I'd like to recommend that Council of the Region of Queens Municipality enter into the proposed lease with the Nova Scotia ECDIS Intervention Association effective September 1st, 2018, and that the Mayor and the Chief Administrative Officer be authorized to execute the agreement on Council's behalf.
Seconder to that motion? Councilor Fairley? The lease was circulated. Are there any questions or comments relative to the circulated document for this issue? Hearing none, are we ready for the vote on the question?
Question.
Motion. All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. Under 13.0 planning, the number's all melting in here. 13.1, West Harris, the tavern. Heritage designation. Thank you, Mike McLeod, for coming to the presentation to us. Who would like to take the lead on 13.1? Councilor Kelly?
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality serve notice of recommendation upon the owners of property identified as PID 7001-7827 and located at 547 Main Street in Liverpool regarding the registration of the house known as West Tavern in the Municipal Registry of Heritage Property, and that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality shall sit to hear any comments or concerns regarding the registration on August the 14th, 2018, at 9 a.m. in the Council Chambers of the Regional Administration Building, 249 White Plain Road in Liverpool.
Seconder to second to that motion? Counselor Phelan? The information was circulated. Are there any questions or comments on this document as previously circulated? Counselor Kelly?
Just a comment. I'd like to, it's really nice to see this, and it's really nice to see how active our Heritage Planning Committee or Heritage Advisory Committee is. So hope to see more of this. Well, I guess there's some more later on in the package as well. But they're very passionate about our community. And just as a side note, it was funny when I saw this too, because I played Phoebe West in the graveyard tour for Privateer Day. So I had a little bit of background on Phoebe, and it was nice to see that you know, women were business owners back then, and respectable business owners, even though it was a tavern. And she ran it by herself after her husband died.
Any other counselor have a question or comment? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Then we move on to 13.2, Courthouse designation as a National Historic Site recommendation. We'd like to take the lead. Councilor Kelly?
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality make application to Historic Sites and Monuments Board of Canada to have the Liverpool Courthouse designated as a property of National Historic Significance.
The seconder for that motion? Councilor Fisk? That again was circulated previously. Do councilors have any questions or comments on this issue?
Yep. I'm just curious, I wanted to ask the question about when we make these designations, is it just on paper only? Does it give us any requirements? Any to take care of it, or does it leave us with any financial burden later on? Like, is it any? Is there anything that adjusts our budget because of giving it this designation?
No, certainly be just the regular maintenance on the building. It's the same as the town hall in Liverpool, which also has national designation. So there's really no downfall to the national recognition. Certainly, it also is provincial designation, so there can be no alterations or demolitions of the buildings that have provincial or municipal status. The character defining elements of those buildings has to be maintained as it is. So there's really, it just increases our profile of a community with a significant heritage and recognizing that heritage. So. Just another feather, I think, in our cap.
Yeah.
So I think there's no guarantee that we'll get it, but we won't get it if we don't apply either. So.
No, exactly.
So I think it's a good opportunity, and the building we all know has played certainly an important role in our community, and I think it's worthy to pursue the designation.
But giving it this designation, or giving any of these buildings in our community this designation, prevents it from ever being able to be torn down or demolished?
You can make applications. There's always that application, but there has to be valid reasons for doing so. So it's a fairly rigid process that
right.
We have to do.
Okay,
that's
the Sort of Protection Act. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Councilor Kirby?
So in a follow-up to that, if the courthouse ceases to become a museum and someone else comes along and has a different purpose for it, the issue we're having with the town hall is that we keep saying that we can't put signage up because of the designation. Is that still true to this day, that we are having, that we have issues? Or has that just been something that's been said because the courthouse could ultimately become something else? And that person buying it would be limited.
Yeah, and I'm certainly not aware of the issues, the signage with the town hall, but if you're not affecting the character defining elements of that structure, which is why it was designated in the first place, with the province, I guess, in the case of the courthouse, to my knowledge, they don't delve into the signage if you're not interfering with those.
So we can put any sign we want on either one of those buildings?
Not necessarily. I guess the land use bylaw sets out requirements, what types of signage can be placed in particular zones, so that, that certainly would apply.
I understand that. We've been struggling with signage on the town hall, and we've always been told, because it's a heritage building, that the, something can't go on there, and I'm in full favor of not having a neon sign on there, but we still don't have signage, proper signage.
And that's something that, Counselor, I would have to investigate further, because both the town hall does have provincial designation as well, so, so perhaps there is something under, their provincial requirements that, restrict that, but I'm not aware, I'd have to look into that.
And once you become designated, you can't undesignate yourself. If, for example, that courthouse became a restaurant for no bizarre reason, and a restaurant with no signage obviously wouldn't work, so can they undo the provincial heritage?
There's an application process, but it's, there has to be a valid reason to deregister that process, and with the provincial, it has to go with the provincial heritage advisory council, who would evaluate the proposal, and, ultimately, it's up to them, to agree with the deregistration or uphold the registration as a provincial heritage property.
Can anyone else comment on whether that is the issue with the town hall, or CAO?
CAO?
The issue of signage, I've never heard that before in my life, so you could put a neon sign Las Vegas style there if you wanted to, but it has to comply with the MPS LUB.
Right.
But as long as you don't alter the, architectural structure that makes it a heritage property, I'm not aware of anything that would require, that would limit a signage or anything for that building or that property.
So when we were doing the wheelchair accessibility around the back, the request was to have it, a roof over it, and we were told that we couldn't do that because of the heritage designation as well.
And I guess that's a little bit different than signage, I guess you're structurally altering the, I guess, the exterior of the building.
It may be different, but it's also relevant, since everything needs to be accessible, it needs to be,
And I think in situations like that, I think a proposal would have to be submitted to the province, the provincial heritage advisory council, outlining what you're looking at doing as far as that structural, alterations to the exterior, and they're gonna have to give formal approval, so whether that was done, I can't speak to that.
And you're just talking like a little overhang? Over like a deck?
Yeah.
Can't imagine there'd be any problem with that.
Well, I've been sitting here for 5 years talking about this, and, you know, I've had people come in through wheelchairs, through pouring rain, through pouring rain, and it's been brought up, and it was approved, as far as I know, to have this added, and then we use this blanket provincial heritage for everything, so, I'm concerned that, you know, we have a 3-year lease, or 2-year lease, whatever it is with the museum, and if that doesn't work out, then we really limit ourselves to what we can repurpose that building for. And I'm all for heritage designation, but I have concerns based on what I've been told in the past, every time we tried to move forward with an addition to the town hall, which is completely...
Counselor Freilich, I think the town hall is a separate issue that we need to resolve.
No.
So let's leave that with the CAO on the roof for the town hall.
No, but you're doing the same thing that you did to the town hall to the courthouse, so it's not a different issue. And we should be aware of it before we all put up our hands and make a decision.
Well, I guess the CAO has indicated he's not aware of anything that would limit that type of an alteration. Well,
maybe I'm just imagining all of that. That's set. It's fine.
But even the courthouse property, if somebody wants to put a pub in there or something like that, there's nothing restricting from putting a sign outside that I'm aware of with any designation other than it has to comply with the MPS LUB as both size and what it looks like with that material and stuff. Walls is not obstructing traffic, visibility, anything like that. There should be no reason. And even putting some type of cover over the deck at the Astor Theater, you're not altering the existing historic property, you're just adding a little piece on it. So I can't imagine why that
I
would
totally
be.
Understand that.
I can't understand why it would be denied.
We still do not have that covered over the wheelchair accessibility and no signage, so I'll leave it at that.
The signs we're working on, it's in the budget, we're working on it. So,
okay, thank you.
It's the first I've heard about the cover over the ramp, over the back deck, so.
But as far as, I guess, the application that's before us today, it already has provincial designation, so any, I guess any of the stringent requirements around alterations of that structure that already exists under the current designations. The national designation is not going to change what can and can't be done with that property. I guess it's a designation as a national historic site. It doesn't have any teeth like the provincial designation does as far as what you can do, can and can't do with that building. So so that doesn't change the provincial designation.
Councilor Johnson?
I think, Mike, you might have answered my question, because this is the motion or the recommendation deals with a national or a federal designation, but
that's
there's also a provincial tier in there,
right.
And then there's a municipal tier as well, is it not?
That's correct.
And each one comes with covenants or whatever that could very easily box us in, but this one here won't box us in any more than we're already boxed in through provincial designation, right?
That's correct. I guess there's two designations that we typically deal with, which is provincial designation and municipal designation. Both of those designations are regulated under the Heritage Property Act of Nova Scotia. So they set out particular requirements as to what you can and can't do with a heritage property, designated heritage property, with respect to any alterations or demolitions or the things such as that. So so this national is going above and beyond that, but it doesn't have the teeth that the
national guidelines would trump the provincial guidelines, would trump our guidelines municipally, or would
yeah
they all
there's
off?
I guess there's no real guidelines around the national designation as there are under the Heritage Property Act, the Provincial Heritage Property Act. So that's where you get your teeth as far as doing what you want with the property, a heritage property. So
we're boxed in.
Well, yeah, it's already got that provincial designation. So.
Any other councillor have a question or comment on this issue? Councillor Fancy?
I think Councilor Fairley brought up an interesting thought, because there's been some things before we've asked for, and I didn't know that they had come under that it was provincial status, or it's just it didn't get done. So I guess that's what we're. I guess we have to find out what the definition of what it is. But I think our CAO is put it forward that as we go forward, we can look at things differently.
Any other council have a question or comment? Are you ready for the question or motion?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thanks very much. Moving on to 13.3, fine levels for illegal dumping. Who would like to take the lead on this? Councilor Campbell.
I so recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality request Nova Scotia Department of Justice increase the out-of-court settlement for disposing or causing or permitting disposal of collectible waste, a special waste, or non-collectible waste at location or in a manner contrary to bylaw, section 50 of bylaw number 13, to a minimum of $697.50 for the first and subsequent offenses.
Seconder to that? Councilor Kelly? Questions or comments on this as the circulator? Councilor Johnson?
How did we come up with that number? $697.
That's, I guess that's the infraction plus associated court costs. If you look at the fines that are identified, all these fines are identified under a schedule in the Department of Justice. So $697.50 is actually the amount associated currently with a third violation of the bylaw. So so we felt to keep the numbers consistent with the other offenses that fall under the summary offense ticket fine levels, that we would keep that number consistent. So in this case, there will be no range of first offense, second offense, third offense. It will be the $697.50 for each offense that takes place. And certainly the nature of the offense and some of the other fines for, I guess, littering and things like that, it certainly warrants a higher fine for the offense. So so we feel that is an adequate fine level.
Any other councillor have a question or comment?
again, that this is something I think that Kellyanne has been working on for a while, because we look at the, for littering is $410, and so it was kind of out of whack, so you could throw, throw anything you wanted out, and it would be $410 if I threw a cup out. But if you dumped the whole load down over a bank, it was $237. Well, that doesn't seem like it was kind of things out of proportion to which to the prices were. Again, it's kind of a touchy spot, because you get up to higher prices, then you get less convictions and the whole business. But the whole idea is that a lot of these legal dumpings seem to be continuing on. Mm-hmm. I see on the report, her monthly report, this month there's two more instances. So it's not, it isn't stopping, so you're going to have something that you're going to be able to use as preventive measures.
No, absolutely, and hopefully people will come to the realization that doing this is not worth the fines that are going to be levied on them for doing so. And Kellyanne is very successful.
Yes.
in tracking down the majority of the people who illegally dump. So hopefully that word will get out there that it's just not acceptable.
Deputy Mayor McFly?
And I agree with this flat rate basically each time. And I'm just hoping that we can actually do a press release specifically on this one particular item, because that's the way you get the word out. And people will spread it around on social media and that sort of thing. And I know that we generally have press releases on motions, but this one is quite important.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Any other councilor have a question or comment? Are you ready for the question?
Questions.
All those in favor of the motion? Unanimous. 13.4, Regional Queens Municipality, Municipal Planning Strategy and Land Use Bylaw Review, Consultant Selection. Who would like to take the lead? Councilor Crisp.
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens approve a contract with the Southern Service for the review of the Municipal Planning Strategy and Land Use Bylaw to Upland for a total cost of $138,000, and that the Mayor and Chief Administrative Officer be authorized to negotiate an agreement respecting the performance of said consulting services.
Seconded to that motion. Councilor Kelly. Mike, would you like to give us a brief overview?
Yep, certainly. A little bit of background. As most of you, or I think all of you, are aware, that the current Region of Queens Municipality Planning Strategy and Land Use Bylaw, the documents were adopted back in July 20th, 2009. There's been a whole lot of change within our communities over the last number of years, and the documents need to be amended to basically reflect the changes that have been occurring. So with that, a staff and planning advisory committee sat down to look at, I guess, the areas that have changed and things that need to be addressed. There was a number of key issues that were identified requiring or necessitating the review, and those were the demographic changes and our aging population. Certainly a significant portion of our population has hit the seniors demographic. So I think there's the things we need to address under the bylaw to address the changing demographic. The changing service needs and the higher demand for community amenities, limited municipal resources to respond to these demands. We need to plan to meet the changes in both the urban and the rural areas. 85% of our municipality is rural in nature, and we have to look at planning to address the needs of the communities in the rurals. We have to look at what we can do to integrate new developments within existing neighborhoods, as well as providing enhanced and creative ways to engage residents and stakeholders so that we get a broad participation, so we get the, a true feeling of what the, how the community wants to see their areas develop. So with that, the project scope, it's been framed around six guiding principles. And those being building sustainable communities where residents have a variety of housing choices, increased opportunity to live, work, learn, volunteer, shop, and have access to a variety of recreational opportunities. Balancing the desires and needs and inequalities of our diverse urban and rural communities. Expanding and growing the population and economy. Preserving and enhancing community character, our natural environments, and an overall sense of place. Responding to climate change and engaging the local residents in the planning process. So with that, on March 27th of this year, Council approved the issuance of a request for proposals to hire external consulting services to carry out the planning review. The RFP was prepared and issued on the 4th of May with a submission deadline of the 15th of June. We were quite pleased with the number of submissions that we received. We received seven from majority were bigger names in the planning consulting world in Nova Scotia and Eastern Canada. So the consultants, Stantec Consulting, EDM Planning Services, WSP Canada, Upland, Brighter Community Planning and Consulting, BC2, and LGP Real Estate Strategies. So all had adequate qualifications to carry out the planning review. The selection committee, made up of the region's planning advisory committee, as well as myself and our CAO, sat down the 26th of June to review the submissions. And the evaluation criteria we used to review the documents were demonstrability and experience of the consultants to actually do the job, demonstrate a relevant experience, planning experience for our specific type of project, a clear understanding of the work that we were expecting of them, any type of creative or value-added things that the consultants could bring to the table in preparing the new documents, and as well as total project costs. So as I indicated, all firms certainly have adequate planning experience to do the job. The overall costs of the seven submissions range from $138,000 to $198,587. So with that, the planning advisory committee or the selection committee spent considerable time reviewing the documents to adequately select the firm that they felt would best serve our needs. There were a number of other things that we looked at, like the total project hours that the consulting firm would be committing to the project. And it ranged from 850 hours through the various individuals that they've assigned to the project to 1,760. We felt that all the proposals were fairly well laid out and demonstrated experience and ability. However, the proposal that was submitted by Upland had by far the greatest appeal for the majority of the members on the review committee. Upland's proposal had the third highest total project hours at 1,254, as well as the second highest project hours by the person that was designated to be the actual manager managing the project. And I guess the added bonus of Uplands was that they actually come in with the lowest project cost at $138,000. So as part of the review, or part of the requirements of the RFP was that the consultants include some of the previous projects that they had worked on. And one project that particularly stood out with the Uplands proposal was work that they had done in the municipality of Cumberland and the update and review of their master planning strategy and land use bylaws. Queens, and Queens Municipality has large geographic area, primarily rural in nature, with a number of urban centers scattered throughout. So the committee had felt that that was certainly a relevant project, but translated pretty closely to what we were looking at accomplishing through our planning review. So with that, it was a unanimous vote of the selection committee to recommend Upland as a consultant to carry out our planning review over the next 18 or so months.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions or comments of councillors on this issue? Deputy Mayor McLeod.
I'm glad the day has come that we've chosen someone to get this project underway. We've planned it for the last number of years, and a lot of work has been placed to put into, been done to prepare this. And the consultant is someone that I think we feel confident in, and it would be good to have it done.
Any other councillor have a comment or question? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. And thank you, Mike. Moving on, 14.0 report. We have 14.1, council implementation report, end of June 2018. That was circulated. Are there any questions or comments on that report?